Greetings and welcome to the 9th edition proper of the FPL Dilemma for an Addict. And yes, we have the elusive special guest. So many of you have craved for a while, I'm sure. I know I'm a bit of a bore, so here you go, introducing Adrian Horvath. How goes it, Adrian?
Yeah, good, thanks. Very well. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. Cool, so yeah, I've had a chat to Adrian a few times. I think last season was his first season of FPL, and for a first season, he had a really, really solid effort. I think, where did you finish again, Adrian?
Around 17,000.
Yeah, so that's a good effort for a first season. I think my first proper season, I finished like around 300,000, so that's a really good effort. So you obviously know what you're doing.
So
who do you support? Which team?
Big Liverpool fan.
Awesome. Yep. So they've made a few statements. Who have they signed again?
I think everyone from Southampton.
Yeah, they're pretty good with that, aren't they? Nathaniel Clyne, I think you've definitely got a winner there. He looks like a good.
I think he's a very popular FPL player too this year, definitely, yeah, by looking at it.
Yeah, he's highly owned, so he's definitely one. And yeah, I think he's a good option as well. Okay, so the topic for today is a request from, I think Joshua Wilson has been bugging me to do a pod on, I think, do you call it, well, I call it differentials, but I think the term is a pod or POD is thrown around a bit. Do you say pod or do you say POD, Adrian? I'm not too sure.
Look, I think pod, POD, whatever, differential, yeah. I think, yeah, as you got here, like, there is a few different meanings. Yeah. Probably does come over from the NRL type thing.
Yeah.
To me, pod, differential, it's, I guess there is a big difference because you got less players in the team.
Yeah.
When it comes to fantasy Premier League.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense.
So cool. It's just having that player that is completely different. And you're going to keep him in your team for a few weeks, I guess.
Sure. Okay, so just looking, so what is a differential? So we know it's a player, he has little ownership, basically. There's nothing too complex about it. So yeah, what this pod will be about, like, talking about whether you should get them in or not. And I think this depends on a lot of things. I wouldn't set your team up with a complete lineup of differentials. I mean, there is a reason why some players are highly owned, and that's primarily because they're going to score well. So I think my advice in general for the beginning of the season is not to worry too much about differentials. Just pick the players you think will score according to skill level fixtures and a little consideration for ownership. What do you think, Adrian? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. Important to get a few of, like, the main guys at the start.
Yeah.
And then maybe have, like, maybe one or two in your midfield, in your defence.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit risky if you go with a striker. Really touch and go with a few people at the moment this year. So
yeah, sure.
Yeah, definitely your midfield or your defence.
Cool. All right, so yeah, that's a pretty good summary of what differential or POD is. I've had some differentials over the seasons that have been quite successful for me. I got... In my best season in the 2012-2013 season, I got Walcott in just before his hat-trick against my Newcastle, and he was owned by 3% of players or something, and I got him in, and my overall ranking just soared. Like, he went kabamo and just killed it. I had Victor Moses last season just before he had scored, you know, two or three goals. And, he did well for a while, so I got him as the differential. And last season I got Graziano Pelle as well, or Pelle, however you pronounce it, just before his run for Southampton. So when it's good, when you do the differential and they have, like, limited ownership and they go well, it's a really rewarding experience. But, yeah, you just got to be careful. I mean, it's funny. The majority of differentials I remember from my recent season actually came from last season, and last season was my worst season in terms of performance for some time. So that's a bit ironic. I mean, the lesson here, I think, is that differentials come with risk, and plumping for a few of them, I think, are best saved for the end of the season. Cool. So, yeah, so, and for no particular reason at all, the players that we'll be looking at today come under a percentage, ownership percentage of 5%. I think that's just a rough ballpark number. There's no science behind that. That's just the thing that I think is a good... a good thing. A good
quite, yeah, I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, 5%. Yeah, I think that's good. All right, so let's make a start. So we're going to go through the teams from alphabetical order. And today being part one, we'll go through the teams from Aston Villa A to, I think the last team's Norwich, so at N. And then we'll look at the other teams later on in the week or early next week, whenever. All right, cool. So let's have a look at Aston Villa. See, I mean, they've made a whole glut of midfield signings, so it's looking a bit minefieldy at the moment. But I think there are some good differentials here. One being Scott Sinclair. He comes in at 2% ownership. Do you like this guy, Adrian?
Scott Sinclair, don't know too much about him. Coming in at 5M,
yeah.
2.7% ownership. I don't know, what are their fixtures like? There's an okay start, yeah, besides Man U.
There's not too bad. Yeah.
I've seen a few people with Scott in their sides.
Yeah.
At 5, I don't know, you might want to consider him as a fifth midfielder, I guess.
Yeah, 5's a good number from, yeah, that's true.
But yeah, could, I think he's a young gun and, you know, definitely could bag a few goals and then, you know, everyone's straight on him and then before you know it, he's making a bit of money for you.
Yeah, he's one that if he does score like a few goals, he's a bandwagon because he's so cheap and he's the, like,
yeah,
hardly anyone owns. And I think when he was at Swansea, he did really well because he was on penalties and I think he got like 100 and he scored a fair few points. That was the season before he was signed for Man City. And then I think he might even be on penalties now. I've got a feeling because Benteke was on penalties and now he's left. He might be, but I'm not too sure. But yeah, I would even say he could even, if he does score a few goals and starts a bandwagon, he's a downgrade option for one of your like big hitter midfielders. Like, and to get Aguero in as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So he's one to watch out for. The next one's Jack Grealish. He comes under 1% ownership. He's not fit, apparently. I don't think... No, he's been ruled out for the first game week, so we can scratch him off the list.
And yeah, he's gone.
He's gone. I'm not sure how long for, but yeah, he is not fit or something like that. He's not playing, I know, that much. All right, cool. And that leaves us with Jordan Ayew. And there's a new signing I've just been reading about, Rudy Gestede. I'm not too sure about him, but people are talking about him. So they're the other two. Jordan Ayew being the brother of new Swansea signing Andre. He's apparently not as good as Andre. Potential for a bandwagon as well. Comes in at under 1% ownership. And he should nail an attacking role as well. So there's that one. All right, so let's move on to Bournemouth. We've got Matty Ritchie. I like this guy a lot. I think his ownership is at 4.4%. Which I think is a little surprising. He killed it in the Championship last season. There's a bit of talk about him. I've read lots about this fella.
There's so much on this guy.
Yeah, there is.
So many people just posting articles about him. And it's really surprising. You only see 4.4%.
Yeah.
I thought it would have been a lot higher. He's pretty overpriced.
He is overpriced, I agree. Yeah. So I think...
You know, I think that... I don't know how well Bournemouth are going to go this year.
Yeah, it's still risky, isn't it?
It's super risky.
Yeah, yeah.
To start him off, I guess he's one of those players. If he does get on a winning run, you can always bring him in as your fourth. Depending what you're setting up the team, it really depends on how you set your team up. I'm definitely setting my team up this year as 3-4-3. Well, I'm aiming for that anyway. I remember last year at times I always changed between 3-4-3 and 3-5-2, depending on fixtures and stuff like that.
So rotating your fourth and your third striker and your fifth.
Yeah, exactly. Midfielder.
Yeah, yeah.
I think when Harry Kane last year when he came on the scene,
third striker,
it opened that door up because he was so cheap and you got him at I think it was 5 or something or maybe even cheaper.
Yeah,
it just freed up a lot of cash to get that fifth, and then you pretty much, every time I left him out, he'd probably get like 10.
Oh yeah, was that Chelsea? That was a Chelsea game. Actually, I watched that game the other day.
I think so. Yeah, I think he scored a few, and I had him on my reserves. I think he racked up a few points.
You would have been silly.
Pretty gutted.
Yeah, you would have been silly to start him. I think, but you know,
I was just didn't know much about him last year.
No, it was just a freak game. Cool. So that's Matty Ritchie. He's on set pieces. He scored 17 goals and 13 assists last season. He's definitely worth considering. I think he might it was not penalties last season. Kermorgan is a French midfielder, but he's like 35, so he won't be playing much this season. So he might even be on penalties as well. All right, so that leaves us with Christian Atsu. We all know he from Everton.
Bobby?
Sorry.
No, you're right.
Yeah, cheers. All good.
So we got Christian Atsu at 0.6%. He should be nailed on. I think he's 5.5. We know him from Everton. He's skilled. He's got some skills, I think. Yeah, he's one to look out for on your watch list. And then we've got Callum Wilson. He's the striker. Comes in with a good pedigree, sits at 5.5% ownership, so he's above the cutoff, but you probably still consider him as a differential as well. So they're the three that we've picked from Bournemouth. Was there anyone else? I don't think. I don't mind Andrew Sermon, but he's probably not one. He's not going to score much. He's just good at a baseline 4.5 price, and he looks nailed on.
So yeah. King? What's his name?
Josh King, yeah.
Josh King.
Yeah, he's not one. Yeah. If he gets a start.
But yeah, he's just watch out. 0.5.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the other one, Josh King. Yeah, he's not a bad play. He's had a good preseason.
Yeah.
Cool. Alright, so let's move on to I've got one pick from Chelsea, Oscar. He comes in at 1.5%. If he's still around, it could be a really good differential. I mean, I think he's sort of half nailed on. Obviously very talented. I think by just looking at the charity shield and, you know, the trends of Mourinho's sides, the setups from last season, I think he probably will be rotated depending on the fixture. I think he started on the bench against Arsenal and he played Ramirez in the double pivot and pushed Fabregas forward. So
yeah,
I think he'll get rotated. But if he's still around, he tends to have a few like little purple patches and he scores a few goals. So at 1.5% ownership, like he can be a super differential if he gets a few starts.
I'm also a big fan of Willian.
Yeah.
He looked very good in that Charity Shield game.
Yeah.
I was a Community Shield, sorry. He looked good, and I think Mourinho favours him maybe even over Oscar.
There's
a bit of...
Yeah.
Bit of love there, I was saying, but
he likes him.
You know, second year in the Premier League, it really very easily could be his year. Would run with a Hazard, yeah. Fabregas midfield. But yeah, definitely Willian is someone I'm keeping an eye on to see how he goes for sure. People and he can definitely get a lot of assists and.
Yeah.
If not, he's pretty goal-hungry as well, and he wants to put a big stamp on it. I think Victor Moses also comes in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's staying around or Mourinho might loan him out again to someone or they might keep him, but I think those two probably might be competing.
Yeah. Now, Moses was good at Stoke. I thought he was good. Yeah, I think I agree. Keep an eye on Willian. Would you say this is his second season or third? It's his second season.
I think it's his second season.
I'm pretty sure it's his second, yeah. Yeah.
I think he was a bit... He got stolen under Liverpool's nose, I think, like that.
That's right.
I think Liverpool were trying to sign him.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
He ended up last minute jumping on board with Mourinho. And, last year he had their first season. I think he's should be up for some big things this year. He just looked really fit and like super quick and stuff like that, and was beating players.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah, I'm pretty excited for this kid. But we'll see how he goes.
Just looking at his stats: shots per 90, 2.05 shots per 90. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, and shot assists 1.82 per 90. So yeah, that's good. Yeah, he's definitely one to keep an eye on. Let's see how
he finished up at. What is it, 7.7 last year, and his value is 7. So he even be underpriced, potentially, depending on how much of a gig he gets in that starting 11. Because he's very easily to be one of those guys you can get subbed off in, like, the 55th minute, you know, if he's having a super quiet game, because the depth at Chelsea is just crazy.
It is, yeah. He can be easily subbed out, yeah. Cool. All right. Awesome. Let's move on to Crystal Palace. I've picked out two differentials from this team. First one being Wilfred Zaha, the next one Patrick Bamford. I think all the other sort of midfielders that you would consider bringing in up, they must be over the 5% threshold, and they are, yeah. Punchin's over, Blassie's over, Kabai's over. All right, yeah, so that leaves Zaha. I don't mind Jordan Much as well. I know Pardew's a fan of Jordan Much. And the other one's Patrick Bamford, yeah. And I probably wouldn't consider any of the other. Oh, maybe I would. Just depends.
About Yedida?
Yeah, I think we'll just have to watch him. I mean, he did score goals last season, didn't he?
He did. I don't know if he was on set pieces still. He scored some very nice goals coming into the year.
Yeah.
And I guess coming off a big Asian Cup
with
Australia. I don't know if he's, still going to be captain this year.
I'd say so. I know his primary role is to break up the opposition's attacks. But yeah, he is on set pieces and he was on penalties last season. I was just watching something before on Fox Sports, and yeah, he does have a mean free kick. So yeah, he's probably one to watch out for. What's his price at 5? Cool.
Because I think a lot of people brought him in last year, probably like near the middle to the end of the season. He started popping up in a few players and he just wanted a little bit of a run. I guess he can be one of those players that will, you know, he'll score one goal, then he'll get you two or three over the next few weeks, but then kind of like just disappear.
Yeah,
and
attacking-wise, yeah.
Probably about it. Right. Yeah, I think Kabai coming in is just probably going to kill all his attacking stats.
Yeah, true. Probably, yeah, that's true. Yep. Yeah, definitely. All right. So I picked Wilfred Zaha. Like, I'm not sure if Zaha's entirely nailed on with Kabai perhaps playing in the... He could potentially play in the attacking three, but I don't think he will. I think he'll play the pivot with Jednak. So Zaha comes in an ownership of 1.9%, so that's he's an extreme differential. I think he's shown he can keep up with the other Palace attackers in terms of shot volume and creativity stats. I think he does get a fair few shots inside the box, which is a good outlier for predicting attacking form in the games after. So I think he's one to look out for. I think if you do get Zaha, it saves you an extra million if you opt for him instead of Kabai. I think once Palace's fixtures get improved, I think Kabai is going to be a popular pick. But I think Zaha and Patrick Bamford are ones to watch out for. Now, looking at all the strikers they have on the books, they've got Patrick Bamford, who I think is flexible. He actually played on as a wide advanced forward in their latest friendly. But they've got Marcus Gale, they've just signed Connor Wickham, they've got Glenn Murray, and they've got Marouane Chamakh. So they have like a whole heap of strikers on the books, but I'm pretty confident Bamford, they've signed Bamford to start. So I like Bamford, and his ownership's 2.3%.
So not a bad player, Bamford. Don't really know too much about him.
Yeah, I think he was at Middlesbrough last season and did really well. So I think that's one he's one to watch out for. All right, cool. Let's move on to Everton. I mean, Everton have ghastly fixtures, I'm pretty sure.
They did last year as well. I wanted to get Howard as my keeper last year, but
yeah,
just such bad fixtures at the start. Fixtures. It looks like they've got a fair few injuries and not good fixtures. And
it's horrible.
It's tough times being an Everton supporter.
Game week two, they've got Southampton away, Man City at home, Tottenham away, Chelsea at home, Swansea away, West Brom away, Liverpool at home, Man U at home, Arsenal away. That's probably the worst fixture lineup I've ever seen.
Especially those three in a row, 8, 9, and 10.
Oh,
doesn't
horrible.
Doesn't look good.
No, horrible. Yeah, so, I'd recommend not getting any Everton, any coverage, unless you're going down, like, getting Lukaku in game week one and then trading him out. But I don't recommend that. That's just too short-sighted. All right, so I like...
Looks like he's picked up a hamstring injury. He has. Lukaku, looks like.
He's not fit.
Yeah, 100.
What did they... I think Martinez come out and said just recently he might... What did he say? He said Lukaku will be assessed over the next 48 hours. So hopefully, if you do intend on getting a Lukaku win prior to game week one, then at least you'll have a pretty good idea on whether he's going to start or not. All right, so yeah, I like Kevin Morales, 2.2% ownership. I think he's first choice, but with Martinez's penchant for rotation, I think we'll see Morales start on the bench a fair bit as well. He loves to shoot, and his shot volume stats are good. So he's pretty selfish player. So
I'm a big fan of him.
I think he's
a good player, and he was someone I was looking at over preseason and even last year and stuff like that. But yeah, he's an interesting one. He's a bit of a hog, and he's always a little bit injured and stuff like that. So. Yeah. Doesn't really help his cause, and
he's
7M.
He's 7.
There's a lot better options. There's a lot better options out there. That's
pretty expensive. All right, we got Ross Barkley at 6.5. So he's at 3.1% ownership. So he's not a bad option. Barkley's a funny one. His minutes per shot stats aren't too bad. If he was on penalties, I'd probably like him more. And then there's Gerard Deulofeu as well. He's sort of under the radar. He's at 0.8% ownership. So I think he's a super differential almost. I mean, and he's a good player. He played really well when he was at Everton. When was it? Not last season, the season before, I think. I can't remember.
So, yeah, a few assists. He went on a little run as well. Yeah. I think when Everton went on a little run, he picked up a few assists and stuff like that.
Yeah, so there's a few players there to watch out for. I think I have to agree, 7... there's a lot for it. An Everton midfield they really struggled last season at times.
Solid midfield. I guess they got Cleverley's there.
Well, he's there now. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably coming in. He's probably going to steal a bit of the minutes and I guess having Premier League experience and stuff like that. McCarthy as well. McCarthy could be a good differential. I think he plays quite deep though.
Yeah, he will.
Could be interesting. Not really looking at Everton. But you can't. Their runs are a little bit.
It's just horrible.
As you just said, they're pretty shocking runs and stuff like that.
Real bad luck.
If one of them two or start firing, then could jump on and stuff like that.
Yeah, cool. All right, so let's move on to Leicester. I was reading an article on the Guardian website today, and it's All the prominent writers on there made their predictions, all the fancy predictions they do. And I think it was like almost at least half of the writers said that they're predicting Leicester to go down. Now, I reckon that's primarily due to the narrative of, what's his name? What's the manager? Claudio Ranieri being a poor manager. I don't think he's that bad of a manager. I don't think Leicester will go down. I just looking at their strikers and their attacking midfielders, I think they have a bit of quality there, and I think they'll do well. And there is a few differentials in there that I would consider bringing in. The ones that I've picked, we've got Riyad Mahrez, I think that's how you pronounce his first name, Mark Albrighton, and then a whole host of Leicester forwards. I like Mahrez as a pick. He's 2.2% ownership. He's one of my top differential targets on my watch list. He boasted terrific sustainable attacking stats last season, I thought, when he was actually on the field. He was in and out of the team all season, but I think he finally nailed the spot in the last five games or so in the hole, playing just behind the two strikers. Prior to that, he was playing on the right wing, and then he lost his spot to Mark Albrighton. So I like Mahrez at 2.2% ownership, 5.5 million. I wouldn't be scared to play him as a fourth midfield option, but maybe a bit risky initially because we don't really know what Leicester are going to really do at the start of the season with the new manager employing, possibly new tactics. So I like him. I like Mark Albrighton. And then I was also reading today that Leonardo Ulloa isn't fit, I think, and that pretty well leaves. You've got James Vardy. I think James Vardy's under the radar a bit. Shinji Okazaki and the Croat Andre Kramaric. So I think the two nailed on striker spots will be Ulloa and Vardy. James Vardy, because I think Ulloa's not fit. He might not play the first game week. And Okazaki and Kramaric will battle it out for that other striker spot. So they're all differentials, and I think they are ones to watch out for. I don't. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Mahrez. I thought he was good last season when I watched him. He was like three shots a game, I think, pretty much. I don't mind. What was he? 2.27 shots a game. So that's pretty good. So yeah,
they've got okay fixtures as well.
They do. Yep. What's it? Sunderland at home. Yes, Sunderland at home. West Ham away. Tottenham at home. That's not too bad. Bournemouth away. Aston Villa at home. So yeah, their first five fixtures are pretty good. Not too bad. All right. So let's move on to City. And I've just noticed that Yaya Toure is under 5% ownership. Yaya Toure is four. He's owned by 4.2% of the game, which I think people sort of seeming to are forgetting the season he had, not last, but the one prior, and he was just banging in goals for fun.
Was it last year that had the Africans Cup?
Last season.
Last season,
They had one last season, but I'm not sure. I know the African Cup's funny. Like, I think they had two in a row or something, but they definitely had one last season. So, yeah, that might have...
They could have definitely hindered Yaya Toure's, like,
sure,
involvement and stuff like that. Maybe a bit distracted and...
Possibly.
With it all, I think he's a quality player. You know, he takes some amazing free kicks, so he's always good for a goal here and there. And at 8.5, I definitely considered him.
Yeah.
He was definitely in my draft for a very, very long time.
For a while.
Now he's not there now.
Yeah.
He can definitely back in, and
he's not, you're
probably going to make money by trading him in for someone.
He's been yellow flagged, but I don't know what for. Do you know?
I haven't heard anything.
No, neither have I.
I heard, like, today, I think Aguero and Silva and...
No, it's real.
I think it was someone else that left training because they were a bit sick or something like that.
Yeah.
But
he wasn't
on the streets. Aguero might be ready for game week one, which could definitely put a big spanner in the works. I've been playing around my team to see if I can fit him in. I don't know if I can start him. Just not too sure.
I'm not going to. But, yeah, It's funny you say that. I've had a play around as well, just to see if we do get word, like, pretty close to deadline. I've got a quick little plan to get the little Argentinian in. So
yeah, definitely. Well, they're predicted. So, as you know, a lot of word out there that, you know, he was top goal scorer last year, and a lot of people out there can think he's going to do it again. So he's definitely a person to look at. And,
I think he'll
all right, back to him. Like, he obviously had a really bad season last year. I think he had a few injuries and stuff like that. And, you know, I think City have got a pretty big push to give Chelsea a bit of a run for their money for the title this year. So
do you think they will?
He could definitely be one of those players that will hang around and, you know, can definitely create something out of nothing.
Do you think City will give Chelsea a good run for their money?
Push Chelsea for the title.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree. Without a doubt.
I think that big signing of Sterling was another thing there. And, you know, I think they've flown under the radar a little bit with their title hopes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think they're definitely a team that can give Chelsea a run for their money.
I agree. Yep. Definitely.
But their preseason's been so bad. They just don't travel well, or I don't know, something about that team. They're not good around Europe and stuff like that. And I'm not too sure, like, what it is, but I still think that they can do it.
Who'd they lose? I think they lost to, was it Stuttgart or someone? They lost.
Yeah, I think they lost 4-2 to Stuttgart. And
yeah, that was the last.
Stuttgart put four goals on them in like half an hour.
Quick time, I think, I like Toure as a pick. Even he didn't score as many goals last season as the season before, but his shot volume stats were better last season. So I think whether he regressed a little bit or he was just, you know, scoring more than he should have the season before, which probably was a little bit. But I think he's a good pick. At 4.2% ownership, like, that's preposterous how low that is.
If he gets one or two goals, you can definitely step your way up the rankings if someone's got, like, a Sterling or a Silver, and they don't really have many of those attacking stacks or, like, assists or goals or anything. You can definitely work your way up those overall rankings for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Cool. All right. I think that, and the other one, Sammy Nasri is the other one, but he's just not nailed on now. I wouldn't bother with him. He's 2.2% ownership. I think he predominantly plays on the right, and I think the left, I don't know. Nasri, what's his name? Nabaz is on the right, Nasri was sort of playing on the left, I think. But I think Sterling will cement his spot, and that leaves sort of Nasri in the cold a bit. All right, cool. Let's move on to my fellas, Newcastle. So there's heaps of differentials here, and there's good ones, but I mean, the differentials for a reason, and two reasons. The first one of the horrid fixtures, the next one is just that Newcastle are rubbish. They were just
might get relegated this year.
They won't get relegated, but they are like, it was ghastly how poor they were. They just didn't even try. I was watching, it didn't seem like they were even trying. I was watching some replays today and they just looked horrible. Just so lazy. And I don't know, but maybe McLaren coming in, he will, they'll improve. I hope they'll improve, but I don't know. Anyway, so I've picked out a couple. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I think, is it Wijnaldum? I'm not even sure. The new midfielder from PSV. I think it's Jorginho Wijnaldum or something. So this,
yeah, it's a funny one. Tongue twist to that, yeah. That last name there.
Yeah, so there's him, Moussa Sissoko again, CM Diong and Alexander Mitrovic. So and Cisse is coming at a pretty low ownership as well. So they're the five guys. As I said, I mean, there's five differentials there. But same as Everton, their fixtures are not good. Newcastle have Southampton at home, which, yeah, I think they'll score. Well, maybe not, I don't know. Swansea away, Man U at home, Arsenal at home, West Ham away. And they've got Watford at home, game week 6. That's the only half-decent fixture in the first 8 fixtures.
But then they got Chelsea and City after City, that.
Yeah, that's just horrible. But then after that, they've got Norwich, Sunderland, Stoke, Bournemouth, Leicester, Crystal Palace. Like that's so it's definitely one to watch out for. So you could take a punt on someone like Mitrovic or CM De Jong, but I mean, I'm a Newcastle fan. I'm pretty well, you just have to wait and see. We don't know what's going to happen. They could just implode. They could do really well. Who knows? So
what about Stephen Taylor? I know he's a defender. Is he nailed? Is he going to play or is he
probably not? It just depends. They've signed an African defender from a Democratic Republic of the Congo. Is something Mbemba? Now he's from Anderlecht. Now I remember him. He was in my Champions League fantasy team last season because he was base price and he performed really well. Like they got a few clean sheets, I think, Anderlecht. So I think when he's fit, he'll start. And then they've got Fabrizio Colaccini, who's been rumored to be leaving and going to Palace with Pardew. Then they've got Mike Williamson. So he's not nailed on, but he has featured prominently in pre-season. Now he's a local fella. He's a bit of a cultish kind of hero because he's a local, and he was in some of those teams that performed really well years ago. But he's been in and out of the team with discipline and injury. Yeah. But he's looking fit, and he's definitely one to watch out for. Of all the 4.0 million defenders, he's probably the one that's most likely to play.
Yeah.
But
I'm keen on him.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, like any 4.0 million defender, you've got to really consider him.
They're gold.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. So, cool. And I think we'll just look at one more team before we pack up and say goodnight. We've got Norwich, a couple of picks. We've got Nathan Redmond and Bradley Johnson. They're the ones that I've picked. They both come in at under 5% ownership. Same as before. It's just a wait and watch with these guys. We don't really know what Norwich are going to do. Both these guys have Premier League experience. They both didn't do a great deal, but they've had good seasons last season in the Championship. But as you know, Championship form doesn't mean Premiership form. So yeah, just a wait and watch with those two. All right, so that wraps up our pod for this evening. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. And we will endeavour to get on to the second part. So that'll be from teams... Which team comes after Norwich?
Southampton to West Ham.
West Ham. Cool.
And was there anyone about in United that you wanted to have a look at?
I just
missed United.
I just looked briefly and I didn't... I'm just differentials.
There's probably not really many.
Mate, Ashley Young at a snip if he gets a start, which he probably... Oh, which he might do. And that's it.
Yeah.
The rest are sort of above. It's Ander Herrera as well. He sort of had a pretty good... He had 98 points, had a pretty good season. And Matter's just above the cutoff at 6.9%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe. Actually, I had Ashley Young the back end of last season, and I got him in just before he got two assists against someone. I can't remember. So he was differential. He was, like, selected by... It was under 2%, I think. So, yeah, he hit it pretty well. But I can't see anyone else. All right, guys, thanks for that.
No worries, thank you for that. Hope we can do the second half and see how it goes.
Cool, awesome. See you later.